It's good to be in God's house. I was thinking a while ago as we were singing the songs of worship of Psalm 47, and it says this: "Come everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with a joyful praise or the voice of triumph." Why? "For the Lord Most High is awesome." Do you believe God's awesome this morning? Do you think he's worthy of a hand clap, maybe a shout of praise? It's okay in church to do that. Like, woo! I think sometimes we feel like that's not allowed in church. I was talking with a couple a moment ago when they're coming in holding hands, that when I was a kid holding hands in church, man, I felt like I was going to go straight to hell. Do not pass go. I mean, it was like, this is bad stuff, right? You don't do that in God's house. It's the same with talking, or the same way with, you got to be quiet. There's no laughing in church. Oh, that's really wrong. Just kind of the way we were raised. But man, God is a good God. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of a hand clap, right? And it's okay to laugh. God has a sense of humor. Just look at the person next to you. That was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But God does have a sense of humor, and it's okay to laugh in church. God is good, and I'm glad that you're here this morning. We're in a series called The Path, and this series kind of, you know, if you imagine, we're on this journey. We're walking the path of life, and for us, many times as Christians, we'll wonder, am I on the right path? Am I on the right path that God has for me? And so we're talking about discovering God's will for my life. And we started in the first week with just the big idea that God is more concerned about the transformation of his people than the destination. He's more concerned with transformation. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you do that, you'll learn to know God's will, is what the Romans passage will go on to say. But God is more encouraged with our transformation than the destination, that it's not a riddle that we have to unlock, but it's a relationship. And that to know God's will, we start by knowing God's voice. And the week after that, David spoke on the resiliency of God's will, that God's will is much more resilient than you and I may think. That when we make mistakes, it doesn't upset God's plans. Like, God's like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. God knows, and he took that into account when he created us. And so, good news, if you've ever messed up, and how many of you have ever messed up? God's plans are greater than our mess-ups. And so that's an encouragement from week number two. And then last week, we just kind of looked at the big picture. And Micah tells us God has already shown us what he wants us to do. Before we talk about specific wills, God has already revealed to us through Scripture, through the prophets, what he wants us to do. And we unpack that one little small verse that he wants us to walk righteously, to live righteously, to act righteously. That means to live according to his moral standard, to do the right thing, to not do the wrong thing, right? To walk righteously, to love mercy. And that goes a step beyond showing mercy, because how many of you know we can all show mercy whenever we're feeling it? We're in church and somebody does something wrong. Brother, I just extend to you mercy. Because we're supposed to. We're at church, right? But to love mercy takes it to a whole other level. To love mercy means that you're looking for the opportunities to show mercy to other people when they offend you. It's like you're just ready and willing to extend mercy because God has shown mercy to us. And aren't you glad God showed mercy to you and me? We can start all over at the very beginning if you want, but if you're with me, we'll continue. So we show mercy. We don't just show it, but we love it because he loves mercy and he showed it to us, and he demonstrated that love. And then we walk humbly with God, and meaning that, you know, it's God's plans, not my plans. Too many times we say, God, this is my plan. I've got it all lined out, and I want you to bless it. To walk humbly before God is to say, God, I got my idea, my plans, my dreams, but ultimately, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How is it you want me to respond to this situation? However, to humble ourselves before God is to understand that he's the one that's in control and not us. Today, the title of the message is, What If I Can't Hear God? Talking about discovering God's will, what if I can't hear God? I want us to look at John chapter 10, this passage of Scripture, one of the seven I am statements of Jesus, where Jesus is demonstrating that he is so much more than just a man. He's so much more than a teacher. He is God in the flesh. And it's in this text in John chapter 10 where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. I don't want to read the whole thing just for the sake of time, but we'll look at John chapter 10, verse 1. And the main verse that is probably on your screen is verse 27, and I'll get to that eventually. John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They don't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. In verse 6, he starts saying, I am the gate for the sheep. Everyone who comes through me has eternal life. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd who sacrifices his life for the sheep. And then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. And finally, in verse 27, the key verse here, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask that you would just help us to incline our ears to hear what you might want to say to us today. We know that you're speaking, and we just ask that you help us to listen today. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I love that imagery that we get in John 10, the shepherd and his sheep. In Israel, and actually in some of the cultures, they still do this, but a shepherd might have, you know, 100 sheep in his flock, and it was very common for them to just get all the sheep together. There might be 10 shepherds with 100 sheep apiece, and that they're all together just feeding in this big, large field. It looks like chaos. It looks busy. How are you ever going to sort them out? And then something miraculous happens, that one shepherd might step away from the rest of the people, and he'll like, whee, whatever his sound is. And one by one, his sheep start peeling out from the crowd, right? And they start coming to the shepherd. I love that picture because the shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. You know, there have been times in my life when I really needed to hear God's direction. I really needed some direction from God. When we moved out here in 95, I was a cable man in Oklahoma, and an opportunity came for me to come to Texas, and the only people that we knew at the time were my aunt and uncle, Ron and Pam Neese, that live here. We weren't real close at the time. She's like a mom to me now, but back in the season, we didn't know very many people here, and it was a huge deal for Rachel and I, newly married couple, to move to Texas. And I remember just going before God, God, I need direction. I need you to guide me on what my step is. Should I stay or should I go? You know, one of those type of deals. And we came. And I look back, hindsight's 20/20, right? And you see God's hand in it. You're like, well, this is awesome. This is obviously where God wanted me to go. And then the next big decision would come in a hard season of ministry. See, I'm in ministry now, and I'm serving, and things are just kind of not in a healthy spot. And I was broken. I was hurting. And we've seen success, but I just was in a spiritual place where we were experiencing a lot of hurt. And I remember I would go on these walks south of Canyon. You know, the roadside parks on the Happy Highway. I would just walk those every day, morning and evening, and I would just talk to God. If you were driving by there, you probably thought I lost my mind. The dude's just talking to himself. No, I was pouring my guts out to God. God, this is what's going on. This is what I need. I need your direction. I would come home, and I'm not a very good journaler, but I would open up a spiral notebook, and I would start to write down, kind of like I was logging what I had talked to God about, so I could go back and say, remember, God, back on January the 3rd, I said this, and I was just serious because I wanted to hear God. I needed direction from him, and I'll admit, there were seasons whenever I felt like God absolutely showed me and spoke to me, not in an audible form, but just led me to what I was supposed to do. But many other times, I'll have to admit, there were times I feel like it was just radio silence. I prayed, I asked God for direction, and I just don't feel like I'm hearing anything from him. Chances are, you've probably been there too. There were seasons in your life, you're like, Shane, I feel like when I pray, my prayers hit the ceiling. I pray and I'm pouring out my heart to God. I'm asking for direction, but all I hear is crickets or I hear nothing. If God really speaks, why is it so hard to hear him? And that's a great question. If God really speaks, why is it hard for us to hear him? As I was preparing for this, I was reading a chapter in a book by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. And it's on the subject of God speaking to us. And he says this, I want you to consider this quote. If the Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. Now let that sink in for a moment. I'm going to read it again. If the Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. So today I want to show you that God does still speak, but we often struggle to hear him, and there are reasons why. If you think about it, throughout Scripture, you just open your Bible and you see over and over and over examples of God speaking to his people. And you can go all the way to Genesis chapter 3 at the creation story. And the first thing we see is God creates man in his image. He puts him in the garden and he creates the wife and he says, hey, go out, be fruitful, multiply. You can eat anything in the garden, but stay away from that one tree. God's speaking right there at the beginning of creation. Fast forward a little bit, we see Abraham. This man, Abraham, who lived in his own hometown, and God said to him, Abram, I want you to leave the place that you're at, and I want you to go to the place that I will show you. And we know that Abraham obviously knew it was God speaking because the next verse says, so Abraham, he went, right? And another time, whenever Moses, this young man who had killed an Egyptian, now he's on the run, he's in the desert, and he's wandering, and he comes across this burning bush. He's like, well, that's crazy. This bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. It must not be a tumbleweed around West Texas, right? It just keeps burning. So I got to go see what this is all about. And as he comes closer, he hears the voice of God saying, Moses, take off the sandals that you have on your feet because the place you're standing is holy ground. And there Moses heard instructions from the Lord over and over and over through the patriarchs, kings, the prophets. God spoke to his people. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Aren't you grateful for Jesus? So when you open your Bible and you read the red letters, that's Jesus speaking. We know that that's God speaking to us through his Son, Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I share only what the Father tells me to share. And so when Jesus speaks, God is speaking to us through the words of Christ. And then Jesus, when he knew his time had come to go to heaven, back to the Father, he says, hey, listen, I'm going away, but it's actually good for you that I'm going away. Because when I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And like me, I've been with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. And this is what he says about the Holy Spirit in John 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And so we know he's spoken through the prophets and the ancestors in the old days. He speaks through Jesus. He speaks through his Spirit. And Jesus, in that John chapter 10 passage, I look at that as a promise. Jesus says, like, I am the good shepherd. And if you've placed your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're trusting in him as the shepherd, you are his sheep. And here's what he says, my sheep know my voice. Better yet, I know my sheep and I call them by name. Isn't that encouraging? That he knows us? And he says, but we also know him. And so here's what we need to know. God is a communicator. He's always been. And here's something else we need to know. He does not change. Malachi says, I am the Lord God. I do not change. He is immutable. It means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God in the Old Testament is the same God we worship today. So can someone hear me saying God still speaks? Amen. God is still speaking. He's always communicated, and he still speaks through his word, through his Spirit, his people, and through circumstances. The issue isn't that God has gone silent. Rather, it's that we are not tuned in. How many remember the old radios that you had to dial the tunes, right? Not the digital thing, but the little dial tune. When I was younger in southwest Oklahoma, I lived in Mangum, and Oklahoma City is about, I don't know, 2 hours away. But there were certain times, maybe in the evening, when you could pick up some of the Oklahoma City radio stations. And I grew up on KOMA and the Cat, classic rock. And I remember those days at night or in the evening times when you'd turn that radio on and it was loud and clear. You're like, yeah, this is awesome. And there are other times during the daytime that you're like just getting real quiet and you're dialing that, just trying to fine-tune it just right to pick up your favorite radio station and just not coming in. Here's the deal. The radio station was broadcasting at full power. The problem wasn't with the broadcast. It was that we weren't able to receive it. We weren't tuning in. And so we need to understand just because we aren't tuned in doesn't mean that God is silent. God still speaks. He's speaking to us today. So know that God still speaks. He's always spoken. He wants to speak to us today. But if God still speaks, why do we struggle to hear him? Good question, Shane. Why do we struggle to hear God speak? I've joked before, if God spoke to us audibly, we'd probably pee our pants. I'm just going to be honest. It would probably freak us out. But he wants to speak to his people. And if he wants to speak to his people, why do we struggle to hear him? I want to give you five reasons that could be potentially jamming up or roadblocking your communication with him, your ability to hear him. Now, the first one is unconfessed sin. You know what that is? That means we know we have sin. We know that it's wrong, and we're not willing to admit it, to confess it before God. And so we come before him in prayer. God, I need to hear you. I want you to speak to me. And we have this unconfessed sin. Here's what the psalmist says about that in Psalm 66. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. He says, if I had not confessed my sin, or if I did not regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love for me. And so we see this picture here where the psalmist is like, hey, if I had had unconfessed sin in my heart, God would not have listened. And you could extend that to say God would not have answered. And he's saying the unconfessed sin. And so we can reason here that he did confess his sins because God did hear his prayer and he acted on his behalf. So here's what unconfessed sin does in our life. It blocks communication with God. It's like knocking the radio dial out of tune to keep us from hearing what God wants to say. It blocks the communication with God. It hinders our spiritual life. It makes our prayers ineffective. And we often have this sense of distance from God. Have you ever felt like you were just distant from God? I'll let you in a little secret. God's not moved. But many times we, because of unconfessed sin, might feel like he's 1,000 miles away. And it's comforting to me and encouraging to know that 1 John 1:9 gives us this promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Communication restored. Amen? So that's one of the ways that we may not be hearing God is because of unconfessed sin. So consider that today. Is there an unconfessed sin in your life? And consider that that might be the thing that's blocking you from hearing God. Number two is too much noise. Man, this one resonates with me because my life is all about noise. I'm busy. I'm always running. There's always things going on around me. And to be honest, there's so many distractions that it can be difficult sometimes just to be still, to filter out all the noise and distractions and to hear from God. Anybody else feel that pain? You wake up in the morning and your schedule is already going. I mean, you just start running, hit the ground running. Your phone's going off. People are calling, texting. You've got things to do. Kids go to school. All that. There's so much noise. I think it's important for us to realize that when God does speak, we have examples in Scripture where it's not going to be the big over the top, but it's in a still small voice. And I like this because if God is speaking to us in a small voice, in a whisper, it means that we have to be intentional to lean in and to hear what he says. Amen? So Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, it says that God and Elijah were going to have this conversation, and Elijah's tucked into the mountains, and this is a heavy time in Elijah's life. And God said to him, go and stand before me on the mountain. And as Elijah stood there, it says, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. Like one of those West Texas panhandle windstorms that move things. Because it says, it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. That's big, right? There's this big windstorm, but it says the Lord was not in the wind. It says, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earth, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And it was then that Elijah recognized the Lord was speaking. He steps out of the cave and he has this dialogue with him. You know, you can't hear a whisper at a concert, right? It's so loud. You look at you're yelling at your person right next to you and they can't hear a word you're saying because it's so loud. There's so much distraction. I think for some of us, maybe we've got too many distractions in our life. The noise is just simply too loud. It makes it difficult for us to lean in to hear the still small whisper of the voice of the Lord speaking to us. But here's what I think. We must be intentional. If we want to hear his voice, we have to be intentional at filtering out the noise. Amen? We got to be intentional at filtering it out. A third reason is lack of intimacy. Think about relationships. Relationships and how you can have a surface relationship and you can have a very close, intimate relationship with someone. The same thing is true with our relationship with God. I'm thankful that I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works. I'm thankful that once I believed in the gospel, I've been considered a part of his family. We say, Father God, and I am his child. I'm thankful for that. Amen? But there's a big difference between that surface relationship and the intimacy with him. That is spending time with him, getting to know him knowing you, which he already knows, but getting to develop that relationship and that fellowship Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. So the vine is the source, right? And the branches rely on the source for the nutrients, for life. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So sometimes one of those things that block us from hearing God is just a lack of intimacy. And I would say that for us, that means just being intentional with T-I-M-E, time with him. A fourth reason is wrong expectations. I'll be honest, early in my faith, I was expecting God to go big, right? He's God, he's a big God. And so if you're going to speak to me, I mean, you spoke to Balaam's donkey in the Old Testament. How cool would that be to go out to your horse and go, God, what are you saying? The horse says, well, like Mr. Ed. I'll be like, whoa! In fact, in that passage of scripture with Balaam, I think that's what should have been in the scriptures. Like as soon as the donkey talked, Balaam should have said, dude, you can talk. That would have been awesome, right? All right, so we see these. We have these expectations of how God is going to speak to us. We want thunder. I used to say, God, just let a star fall from the sky right now, if it's your will. And I would wait. God, if it's your will, if you're speaking to me, I just need it. You're going to have to write it. Who said this? Write it in the sky, right? God, I need you to speak to me. I mentioned this before. We were at Promise Keepers in Denver years ago. And I remember this is a men's conference. Thousands of people. It was the old Denver Stadium. We're on the nosebleed section at the back. And I remember it's a men's conference. And we're like, God, we need you to speak to us. And you look up and there's this airplane that a women's organization had rented that flew over with a banner that said, pay your child support. Oh! Oh, God, give me another message, right? Anyways, we say, God, I need something big. Write it in the sky. We have these big expectations, and we go to Moses, and Moses, when he encountered the burning bush, how many of you know he didn't have a previous experience to go, oh, yeah, burning bush, God speaking. My dad had this experience. My grandpa had this experience. That's how God speaks. No, it was completely unique to Moses. He shows up one day, and there's a bush on fire, and he's like, that's kind of weird. And he approaches it, and God speaks to him. It's a unique situation. So sometimes we miss God speaking because we have these wrong expectations. And we've already mentioned, and it's important for us to remember, that God speaks primarily through his word. Amen? And this is God's word, and this is God speaking to us. He speaks through his spirit. He speaks through circumstances. He even speaks through people. And so let's be careful that we don't have the wrong expectations about how God should speak to us. And another one, I guess the last point here, is the spiritual immaturity. And this is a big one too. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says this. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you were spiritually dull. Time out. If you're the recipient of this letter to Hebrews, I'm offended. Right? The writer's going, hey, I want to tell you stuff, but you guys are a bunch of morons. You're spiritually dull. That's what he's saying to them. You're spiritually dull, and you don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Here, the writer of Hebrews is talking about spiritual maturity, and he's saying a lack of spiritual growth is equivalent to a baby. Now, I love babies, but I got to tell you that when they're little and they're not talking yet, they're frustrating because they're crying, and I don't know how to fix it, right? They're whining about something, and I'm like, if you could just speak English, dude, I don't know what you want. I've shared this story before, and Hannah's here this morning, but years ago when Hannah was a little bitty baby, Rachel went on the women's retreat, and all I had was one role, and that was to keep the kids alive, okay? And I was doing a pretty good job, but then Rachel calls to check in on me, hey, how are things going? In the background is a baby crying. I'm like, everybody's good except Hannah. I don't know what's going on. She goes, well, have you fed her? I'm like, well, duh. You know what? She was sleeping when I fed the other kids. No, I have not fed her. It's amazing how I gave her food and she was quiet for the rest of the time. But the reality is when they're little like that, it's frustrating because they don't understand my voice or my communication, what I want, and I don't understand them very well. How many know when they start to communicate, it starts getting, well, it's also frustrating because then they do too much, but they communicate and You're like, hey, my ear hurts. Well, now I know it's not your toe, you know? Or, hey, can I have this? I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm sleepy. They never say that, but, you know, they communicate. And as we grow in our faith, it's like we understand the voice of God better. We learn to discern it better. We learn how to talk better, to approach Him. And so one of the roadblocks, if you will, of struggling to hear God's voice may simply just be spiritual maturity. And so that for us is a call to grow up in our faith. Amen. Continue growing. So how do we tune in? If God's speaking, and we've established that, He's not changed. He is speaking. And if the problem is not Him not speaking, but it's us tuning in or the static or the distractions, what can we do? What are some practical things that we can do? Number one, we can be still. That's a big order to fill, isn't it? Be still. I struggle with that one. Be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Stillness is a spiritual discipline. It requires discipline to just intentionally be still. Stillness is a spiritual discipline. God often speaks in the silence. And so one of the things that we can do is just set an alarm. For 22 years straight, I've set an alarm on Sunday mornings for 3 a.m. And I'm just conditioned to waking up 3 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The reason I do that is because I'm panicking and coming up with a sermon for you guys a little later. That's not it. It's quiet. Phones are not ringing. No one's knocking on the door. There's just absolute silence. It's an opportunity for me to be still before God and say, all right, God, if you're willing to change the message today before I'm prepared to go out and do it, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. And He's done that. It's a scary ride. But I love those moments of silence. And so maybe for you, it's setting an alarm. Like, I need to get up a little earlier before the kids, before the chaos, the crazy. I need to get up a little early and just be intentional. I used to go to South, or I guess it would be a Buffalo Lake, or I'd go to Paladura, and I'd take a gallon jug of water and just my Bible and go park it somewhere for a while and just sit in the silence. Away from my phone, away from a radio, away from any other distraction, just sit there in the silence and say, God, I'm trying to eliminate distractions and I'm trying to be still. What do you want to say? So be still. Find a quiet spot. I don't know what that looks like for you, but try to find a place where you can just practice the stillness and being still before God. Second one would be to ask Him to speak. Just simply, all right, God, I need you to speak. But when you ask, like, I'm ready to receive, right? I speak because I'm listening. You got my attention. 1 Samuel, the story of Samuel, the prophet, as he was a child, he was dedicated, and he served under Eli. He actually lived with Eli at the temple. And as he grew up, I think he's somewhere around a teenager by this point, and the Bible says that the word from the Lord was very rare in those days. So God wasn't speaking a lot. And so when Samuel's laying in his bed, in the middle of the night, he hears his name, Samuel. And I'm sure that's how it sounded too, Samuel. He gets up and he goes to Eli's room. He was like, yes, you called me? Eli goes, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel goes back to bed, lays down, and again, Samuel. He gets up and he runs back to Eli. Eli, you called me? He goes, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And a third time, he hears Samuel. He gets up and he goes to Eli. And Eli says, no, oh, wait a minute. It could be that God is speaking to the boy. So Eli says, all right, Samuel, here's what you do. Go back to bed, lay down. And when you hear the voice again, here's what you're going to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so it says Samuel went back and he laid down and he heard that voice again. Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And God would begin to unfold His plan through Samuel, young boy. He spoke to him. So I'd say that we come to Him and say, God, speak, I'm listening. In fact, can we say that together? God, speak, I'm listening. Do it together. God, speak, I'm listening. What if we got in the practice of saying that in our prayer time? God, speak, I'm listening. Oh, really? Turn the radio off. Oh, yeah, turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Get the distract. Okay, now, God, you got my full attention. Speak, because I'm listening. Ask Him to speak to you. Stay in the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, say all Scripture. And this is not just the words in red. This is the Old Testament. This is the Psalms, the Proverbs. There are a lot of gold nuggets in Proverbs, but it's all Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it, the Word, to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. It's important for us as followers of Christ to stay connected to the Word, to be in the Word, not out of obligation, but just like, God, you're speaking to me through this. I want to hear you, and so I need to be in it. So stay in the Word. Here's another thing, walk in obedience. I mentioned this in the first service. It's more frustrating for a parent when a kid comes to you and says, Daddy, will you? Or Daddy, can you tell me what to do? And Daddy's like, I want you to do the thing I told you to do earlier, right? There's that disobedience that comes to kids. And you're like, as a parent, you know, you're like, dude, I want you to do what I told you to do last time. And I think sometimes we can approach God, I need you to show me what to do. And God's like, let's start with what I told you to do earlier, right? So let's start with obedience. Again, this is kind of a kickback to the moral law of God, the moral will of God. He desires us to walk righteously. And so walk in obedience. Why would God give us instructions if we're ignoring the last ones? Pray honestly. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. Isn't that what we're looking for in the decisions of life? God, I need wisdom. I need answers. I need direction. If we need wisdom, he says, ask our generous God. He will not rebuke you for asking. He's going to give it to you, but ask in faith. And then lastly, I'd say this one with care, but seek wise counsel. God has put people in my life that I would be able to call back in the day and say, hey, listen, have you heard the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees? Sometimes you will go through a season of life and you need a direction from God. You need some wisdom from God, and you're just too close to it. You're emotionally involved. I mean, all the details are just clouding your judgment. And it's in those seasons, it is huge to seek out wise counsel. People are committed to God's word. People are committed to praying on your behalf. People are committed to telling you not what they think that they want to tell you, but what God tells them. And so to seek them out and say, God, would you speak through these people? And you ask them, hey, I'm praying about something. I would like it if you would pray about this with me, please. And maybe give me some feedback. Give me some counsel. I'm too close. I can't see the forest for the trees. And so I think there's a benefit to seeking wise counsel. And God has many times in the past spoken through the words of encouragement or advice or counsel of a close, dear friend. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. And so seek wise counsel. So there's a few things that we can do if we want to tune in to hear God's voice. So what do you do when you can't feel that you feel that you can't hear God? Remember, the problem is not with God speaking or not speaking. The problem is with us tuning in. I think we get that, amen? The problem is not with the broadcast. It's with us tuning in to what he's saying. So I'd say start by asking God to reveal any spiritual static. God, is there something that's standing in the way? I want to hear from you. But if there's something that's in the way, like by way of static, that's keeping me from hearing that, would you reveal that to me so that I can do it? I read a book years ago called Prayer Partners by John Maxwell. He talked about in his private prayer time, he would go out and he'd have a quiet time place and he would take a notepad and a pen and he would begin to pray. He says, inevitably, every time I would pray, I would be distracted. These things would come up in my mind to distract me from praying. He said, so I got into the habit of just jotting them down, like making a list. When I'm through praying, I'll address it. And it's like he was saying, hey, thank you for that reminder, Satan. You're the one that's distracted me from praying, so I'll just jot that down and I can handle it later and on to the next thing. And he said over time it became easier for him to just let all that noise go to the side and he could just spend some time communing with the Father. So start by asking God to reveal any of the spiritual static, sin, distraction, or even pride that might be keeping you from hearing him. Create intentional stillness. Man, even 5 minutes, and I would advocate for much more than that, but even 5 minutes where you're like, no phone, no TV, nothing, just me and God, find a place, find a closet, find a quiet place where you can get, man, just spend some time in the stillness, in the quiet, asking God to speak to you. Immerse yourself in Scripture, ask God to speak. This word is alive and it's active. Even though there are passages written 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and everywhere in between, God's word is active and it is helpful, it's useful, and so we should always approach it. God, what I know what it's saying here, but what are you saying to me through this truth? What are you revealing to me today? So immerse yourself in Scripture. Ask God to speak. As you read, His word. Take the next obedient step, even if it's a small step. All right, God, I recognize this is a sin, and I want to address that and repent of it because I want to hear from you. Ask someone that you trust to give you godly advice because God may, and he has in my life, spoken through them as well. God speaks in many ways. God is still speaking. The problem is not with his communication, but it's with our listening. And to just go back to the parable or the story of the shepherd, how cool it is to know the key is knowing the shepherd. And if you're here today and you don't know the shepherd, you don't know his voice, you're not going to hear from him. But when you place your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. You are one of his sheep. And the promise is, Jesus says, I'm the shepherd, I know my sheep, and they know me, and they know my voice. And so you can hear God speak. And so just imagine for a moment, what would it look like if the church, this whole church was full of people who listened to the voice of God? What would it be like if we were so disciplined? We were like, hey, don't call me between this time and this time because that's my quiet time with the Lord. You won't get me because my phone is in the car or whatever. And we just spend quiet. What would it look like if we as a church were committed that much to listening for the voice of God? People who are not just rushing through the prayer times, rushing through the Bible reading just to check a box off on their list of to-dos, but people who actually are tuned in to his voice. What would that look like? I think we'd see a little more peace, clarity, purpose, and maybe even confidence, not because we have all the answers, but because we've heard his voice. And here's the thing, God wants to guide you. He wants to guide you, not just in the big events in life, but every day, in the daily moments, he wants to guide you. He's not playing hide and seek, amen to that. He's not playing hide and seek, he's speaking, so let us, as a church, be a church that listens to him. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm going to close in prayer, but I'm going to do something we never do. And the reason we don't do it is because it feels awkward. In radio, they talk about dead space. When you're listening to a radio station and there's just silence, you're like, somebody messed up. Somebody forgot to push a button because it's radio silence, right? And in church, we've become so conditioned to making every minute just full of something, right? And when there's a pause in that, you're like, oh, this is awkward. But what if we intentionally said, God, we just want to get into the practice of just being silent before you. So before I end in prayer, would we just take a few moments and just be silent before him? Ready? Speak, Lord. We, your servants, are listening. God, we confess that we have so many things in our lives that are just crowding what you might be trying to say to us out. Like that radio station, we're dialing in, but there's so much noise. And Lord, for some of us today, maybe this is just a reminder of how important it is for us to be intentional, even with eliminating those distractions and noises and being intentional. And the spiritual discipline of being still, just so that we can hear you. Lord, I'm fully confident that you've not changed and that you still want to speak to us. Lord, I know that we have big expectations, but God, sometimes you just do it in the smallest, most subtle ways. We acknowledge that you speak to us through your word, through your spirit, through Jesus, through circumstances, through people. Lord, you've spoken to me through song. And Father, we realize that you speak to us today. So we will admit the problem is not with you, it's with us. So God, would you give us sensitive ears, like the sheep amongst the thousands of sheep, to hear the voice of our shepherd. That we would lean into you and be intentional in hearing your voice. But the reality is there's people here today that really, really need to hear your direction for them. They may have walked down a path that they realized now was the wrong path, and they're coming back and saying, God, I just need you to redirect my steps, and I need you to direct me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give them ears to hear and give them this understanding that, Lord, they need to be intentional at leaning in to hear what you might say to them. Father, forgive us for the times that we've crowded you out. Forgive us for the times we've been too busy, like a crazy toddler on Mountain Dew just running around crazy and just leaving you to something we do right before we fall asleep at night or before a meal, just speaking with you. Help us to be intentional, knowing that God, you are our lifeline. We are the branches. We can't do anything apart from you. So help us understand that when we want to hear from you, the problem is not with you, but most of the times it's in our own shoes. And so God, help us to see what that might look like personally for us each today. Help us to take a step of obedience, Lord, and get to the point where we just get excited because we feel like we're hearing from you more frequently. God, as a church, not just an individuals, but Lord, as a church, that we would be a church that just is tuned into your voice. When you say go left, we go left. You say go right, we go right. Lord, we just hear you, and we're sensitive to your direction you're leading, and we just take steps of obedience in that. God, you've always spoken, and you still speak, and you want to speak. Help us to be willing to listen, and I humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.